Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is troubleshooting memory leaks and other Java errors using the IBM Support Assistant. Today's presenter is John Gibbs. John currently works in the AIM Accelerated Value Program supporting WebSphere-based products. He previously worked in WebSphere L2 as the technical lead for debugging Java virtual machine problems on WebSphere. Moving on to slide number 2. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John.
Good day, everyone. Thank you, Joseph. First, I want to start off with the agenda, and I'll be first talking about garbage collection. I'll be doing a brief overview of garbage collection, which is important so we can understand what types of memory problems that we have. I will be going over the verbose GC output for the 142 and earlier JDKs, and also for the 15 JDK as well. After that, I'll move into the different types of out-of-memory errors that you will see, starting with the heap memory errors, both for heap fragmentation and heap memory leaks, and also for native memory errors. Then we will go into the tooling for the IBM Support Assistant. The two tools that I've chosen is the IBM Pattern Modeling Tool for Java Garbage Collection, which is also called PMAT, and also for the Heap Analyzer, which is used for processing heap dumps on the IBM JDKs. And then we will be going through a summary to recap all that we discussed during this meeting. Slide 3, please, Joseph. So first, I wanted to talk about what is garbage collection. All of the different garbage collectors have the same formula. They're all going to start with the mark phase, which is basically tracing the object graph from the known set of starting points, for example, from threads. And these threads are going to be known as the root set. So after the mark phase, we will go into the sweep phase, which we will remove all of the objects that are no longer live. So anything that's not visible in that list that we did through the mark phase is going to be garbage collected and removed from the heap. If necessary, we will do the compaction phase, which is basically to remove all of the objects from one area of the heap to basically we're going to be taking all of these objects and creating fewer holes. This is to help reduce fragmentation on the heap. The compaction phase is optional. Basically, the way that we do this is we do the mark phase first, then the sweep phase. If we still cannot allocate that object to the heap, then we will do a compaction to try to remove all of these objects to one area of the heap so we can allocate the next object. So if we are able to allocate the object after the sweep phase, the garbage collection ends there. And it's only if we cannot allocate that object that we go into the compaction phase of garbage collection. Most of the tuning that we're doing for garbage collection is to avoid compaction. Compaction takes a lot of time, and we want to avoid compaction if at all possible. That's where most of your long garbage collection times is going to come from compaction. So all of the tuning that we're doing is to reduce compaction. Slide 4, please, Joseph. I want to start off with the 142 verbose GC. And the reason why I wanted to go through this is so you can understand on the 142 JDK how we determine what type of memory problem that we are dealing with. So the first thing that we do, no matter what type of memory problem or performance problem that we're dealing with, is first look at the verbose GC. If you're generating a heap dump and you actually have a fragmentation issue, the heap dump is not really going to help you. So the first thing that we always do is look at the verbose GC first to help determine what type of memory problem are we dealing with. Are we dealing with a native memory problem, a heap memory problem? And if it's a heap memory problem, is it a fragmentation issue or a memory leak? So it's very important to look at the verbose GC first. So the first line of the verbose GC is, in this case, you can see AF39 allocation failure, need 528 bytes, and 6.6 7 seconds since the last allocation failure. So the first number, the 39 in parentheses, just tells us the cycle of the allocation failure. The allocation failure means that the JDK triggered that garbage collection cycle. It's not a problem. That's what we're looking for. We want the JVM to trigger these GC cycles. So the 39 is the 39th cycle, GC cycle, since the JVM started. And then the need 528 bytes just tells us the size of the object that triggered this garbage collection cycle, and then the time since the last allocation cycle started. The next line is very helpful to determine if there is fragmentation on the heap. Basically, it gives us at the end of the cycle, you'll see, at the end of that line, you'll see two numbers in parentheses. In this case, it's 0/ and then the size of the heap, which is 252 megs. And 0 means that the heap was completely exhausted. If that was a non-zero number, for example, if it was, 133,000, then there would be some degree of fragmentation on the heap. So as long as that number is 0 or close to 0, we understand that there is no fragmentation. And then the next line gives us the size of the heap before the garbage collection cycle, before and after. The third line gives us the timestamp of this GC cycle. The fourth line tells us the percentage of the free of the heap that is free after the GC cycle and the time it took to complete that GC cycle. The next line tells us how long each phase has taken. In this case, the mark phase has taken 168 milliseconds, and the sweep phase is 21 milliseconds. And then the sixth line tells us how many references we have on the heap, weak references, finalizers, and phantom references on the heap. And then the last line is the total completion time. So basically what we're looking for like a memory leak would be if we look at the fourth line in each GC cycle, and we're basically looking for a steady decrease in the heap available. In this case, it's 68% free. And then the next GC cycle is 67% free. And if that continued down over time, to 0% or trending downward, then it's possibly that we would have a memory leak and would need to look at it. The other thing to look at is if we actually have an out-of-memory error and the heap is over 10% free, then we're looking more at a fragmentation issue and not a memory leak. So if you're getting an out-of-memory error and there's over 10% free heap and you're getting a heap dump, if there's a fragmentation issue, then there's really no point in looking at the heap dump because the heap dump will take a lot of time to process and analyze. And if it's not a memory leak, you can actually get taken off track because it's always going to find some type of memory leak or potential memory leak. But we'll talk about that later when we look at the heap dump analyzer. Slide 5, Joseph. This is one GC cycle from the 1.5 and later JDKs for IBM. And the reason why it's so large is because in the 1.5 JDK, we actually have different GC policies available. We have Gen Con, which is basically three different heaps in one. So we have a lot more information to keep track of. So in this case, this is one GC cycle where in a 1.4.2 JDK it was only 7 lines. This is a lot more information because we have a lot more information to keep track of. Basically, I'm going to do this. The GC cycle is sort of organized by paragraphs. So the first line basically tells us the type of garbage collection cycle that we're running. In this case, it's a nursery, or it could be a tenured GC cycle. The ID is the same information as previously. This is the 35th cycle since the JVM was started. It also gives us the timestamp and the interval between GC cycles. The next line tells us the size of the object that was requested to cause the allocation failure. And in that first paragraph, we see the nursery-free bytes and tenured-free bytes. And that tells us the size of the heap available before the GC cycle. So in this case, we see that the nursery was at 0%, and that's why we're doing the nursery garbage collection to free up the nursery space. The next paragraph also tells us where it starts with GC type scavenger. It tells us the time between the GC cycles again and between the scavengers. In this case, it's a scavenger, so that interval tells us the time difference between scavenger GC cycles. And it gives us our tenured count and the references on the heap. At the end of that paragraph, it tells us the details about the scavenge, where it gives us the nursery free bytes and tenured free bytes after the GC cycle. And the last paragraph gives us the heap occupancy details after the GC cycle. So for looking at a memory leak, in this case, what we would look at is the tenured region at the last paragraph, which is basically the heap details after the GC cycle, and looking at each GC cycle at the end and seeing if that number goes down. So in this case, our tenured free bytes after the GC cycle is 32%. So we would just basically look at that number through multiple GC cycles and see if that number is trending downward. So it's basically the same concept as the 142 in earlier JDKs, but there's just a lot more information available. Slide 6, Joseph. This is basically talking about the different types of out-of-memory errors and gives you a little bit of pointers of what the heap is looking at and corresponding what type of problem you can be dealing with. For example, if you have more than 10% free heap, then it's going to be a fragmentation or a heap fragmentation issue. Same thing if we have large object allocations when we're getting the out-of-memory error. That would also indicate possibly a fragmentation issue. This happens more frequently on the 142 JDK, but potentially could still happen on 15 and later JDKs. But there were some other improvements in the JDK where, in the 15 and later JDKs, where we don't get as much fragmentation due to large objects. If the heap is exhausted, usually you'll have less than 10% free heap. It's very rare that you'll get completely to 0% free because you're always going to have some degree of fragmentation on the heap. But any time that you're under 10% free heap, that's when you really want to look at the heap dump. And if we have a gradual decrease in heap memory over time, that would also indicate a possible memory leak. Again, we need to make sure that this is over a long period of time, because if you're doing a load test and starting your JVM and your JVM is still ramping up, then it will still look like a memory leak. So we just need to make sure that the heap is stabilized and then look at the heap after it's stabilized and see if we're still trending in downward where we're running out of potential heap memory. Slide 7, please, Joseph. These are a list of possible native out-of-memory errors. This isn't a complete list, but it is the most common errors that you would see to indicate a native memory problem in WebSphere or any stacked product. The first one is the JVM DB G01 and 04, which are your malloc and calloc fail to allocate. Both of those are coming from the native heap. So if you're running into any of those errors, that would also indicate that you're running into a native memory problem. Failed to fork OS thread, and that would actually happen from the operating system. The operating system handles all of your native threading. So if you cannot fork a thread, that also indicates that you are out of native memory. If you can't create any more threads, that's the same thing as able to fork the OS thread. And then the next line, the next error would be your Java core not written, unable to allocate memory for a print buffer. This would happen on your 142 JDKs and earlier. The print buffer to generate the Java core is created from a native memory buffer. So if that native memory buffer is exhausted, you will not be able to create the Java core. if you're getting an out-of-memory error and that your heap is not fully expanded, that would also indicate that your heap is running out of native memory. For example, if you have your heap set to 1.5 gigs, your max heap set to 1.5 gigs, and you're running out of memory and your heap is only at 1 gig, that would mean that you are out of native memory and it cannot expand the heap to 1.5. So that would indicate that you are out of native memory. Slide 8, please, Joseph. Okay, this is the PMAT tool. The PMAT is the pattern model analysis tool for Java. This is available in ISA as one of the memory tools, and it's also available as a standalone tool as well. This is the tool that support uses for looking at your verbose GC information. The first screen, what it tells you is the number of verbose GC cycles. So in this case, the first number basically tells us that there's only one cycle. So it's basically the JVM was only started one time. If you have multiple restarts, let's say if you start the JVM up, run it for an hour, shut it down, and restart it, that would be two cycles. In this case, we only have one cycle. And it also tells us the number of GC cycles, that the number of GC collections that happened during that cycle. It also tells us the size of the heap. It tells us the size of the new generation, the 10-year generation, and what's really important is the overhead. The trick here is that with the GC overhead, it's going to run for the complete duration of the verbose GC. So if you run a load test from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and leave the JVM running after 5 p.m. and then start the load test up at 9 a.m. the next day, it's going to skew the results. So you just need to make sure that you have the verbose GC trimmed for the time that you're looking at. Otherwise, it might skew the overhead results. So usually I just put in the verbose GC for the time period that I'm looking at so I can get an accurate overhead. Anything over 20% GC overhead is a concern and means that you're spending too much time in garbage collection. So we would need to do some tuning at that point. It could be changing your garbage collection policies to a different garbage collection policy or adding more advanced tuning to your existing garbage collection policy. It also gives us the maximum garbage collection overhead. This number, I really wouldn't be that concerned over it because you would always have some examples where you might have a 100% or 99% GC overhead. The most common is when you expand the heap. That would always cause a 100% GC overhead. But what we're looking more for is the overall GC overhead. At the bottom of this slide, it also gives you basically automated analysis and recommendation on different types of problems. So it would basically let you know if it detects a possible memory leak and also the percentage that it is, in fact, a memory leak. Slide 9, Joseph, please. Okay, this is actually shows the tool after you basically view the graph. After the first screen that we just saw was basically the summary of all the information. This screen is what we normally use to look at your verbose GC. You would actually go in and do a file graph all, and this is what you would see. The red line basically is your used tenured after the GC cycle. And you can change all of your lines and colors and look at any information. So the right side has all of your different widgets that you can look at. You can look at your free tenured region, your object sizes. So if you want to see your object sizes, you have an option in here where you can actually track all of your large object allocations and see when you're allocating large objects and actually which GC cycle is causing those large objects. So this tool is very good for profiling your garbage collection you can see any aspect of your GC that you want to, and it really helps to see it in a graph. So, you know, if you want to see when your allocation failures are completed and how frequent those are, you can actually choose that widget on the right and track that information. Basically, for memory leaks, what we're looking for is, are you tenured after and the tenure before, so we're before the GC cycle. So what we're looking for is for the red line to be completely exhausted, meaning that's going all the way up to the top. In this case, we have one example where we have a slight increase, and I apologize, it's very hard to see, but at the end, that red line goes all the way up to the top. That basically indicates that we have a large object that was allocated, and so this would be one example of an out-of-memory caused by a heap fragmentation issue. Slide 10, Joseph. Okay, so this would actually show a potential memory leak. We have our red line, which is the use line after, and we can see a steady increase going up toward the top. The total after is basically that yellow line, and we can see that it goes all the way up to the top. And once it goes up to the top, that's when we really need to focus on looking at the verbose GC, because at that point we know that we are fully expanded on our heap. So that yellow line is not fully expanded. It's still ramping up during our load test until it reaches the top. So once that yellow line reaches the top, then we really focus on that red line. So once it reaches the top, we do one big garbage collection. We lose a lot of memory, but we quickly go back up to over 45 megs in this heap, and then garbage collect a little bit and go back down to 42 megs, but then we steadily increase to the end. So in this case, it does show a potential memory leak, so we would get the heap dump and analyze this heap dump. Slide 11, Joseph. This is the heap analyzer. This is one of the tools that are available in the IBM support assistant for looking at heap dumps. This is the one that that support uses to look at the heap dumps, but there are different tools that you can use to get the same information. This is the tool that we're just comfortable with using. The first screen, when it comes up, it actually gives you a couple of different panels. At the top, it gives us the summary, so it tells us the file name for the heap dump that we loaded into the tool, the Java version, but then also it tells us how many objects, classes, and objects arrays are on the heap, and tells us the total number of references, number of routes. I mean, what's really important is the heap range size and the Java heap usage, so we can actually tell if the heap is fully expanded and how much of that heap is actually being used. What we also look at is in the bottom left, which basically gives us our reference tree. And it basically is a tree view of all of our objects in that heap. So it starts off with our root objects, which are going to, like I said before, are going to start with our threads. And this is the section that we really look at to determine what is causing the memory leak. So what we would do in this case is to do an analysis and then detect memory leak. And it's going to show you in the tree view, in this case we have one object that is 50 megs. That's the first number is the 50001176. And it tells us how much of the heap is in this array, array list. So there's 95% of the heap is in this array list. And it tells us the object, in this case it's Java util array list, and tells us the object, basically where this object is in the heap. And that's 0x1ABB68. And then underneath that is basically going to be the where the actual memory leak is. In this case, we have the first number, again, is the size of that object, which is 50 megs. The number in parentheses, 152, is the size of that object itself on the heap. So that doubling object is 152 bytes. but it's holding 50 megs in that heap, and there's 26 objects in that array. So basically, it's 50 megs. That object itself is 152 bytes, and there's 26 doubling objects in that array. So at this point, you know, we know that we have an array that's holding 95% of the heap, and in this case it's 50 megs. And it's up to us to determine if that is normal or not. So sometimes we would have to go back to the developers, either our application developers or whoever owns that code, and determining if that's what's expected or not. Slide 12, please, Joseph. Okay, so this is the same example, and all that we did was to expand that Java util array list out. So in this case, what we have is we have those objects that in that heap that we can see, you know, before we said that there were 26 objects in that array. And all those objects are 4 megs apiece. So usually when we have a memory leak, we're going to find either two different behaviors. We're always going to have an issue where we're running into some type of collection. It's either going to be an array list, a linked list, you know, some type of an array, a collection of objects, and either we're going to have a lot of objects that are very small, or like we have in this case where we don't have that many of them, we have 26 objects, but they're fairly large. In this case, all these objects are 4 megs. So the question that we would be, you know, asking our developers or whoever owns that array would basically be, are we expecting these 4 meg objects in the heap? Slide 13, Joseph. So basically, this is a different type of test case. In this case, what we have is the other case where we have a lot of objects and they're fairly small. So if you look at the blue section on the bottom left that I have highlighted, we basically have 1 gig that's 99% of the heap that is basically owned by this Javelin object array. And we can see that there are 2,007 objects in that array. So in this case, you know, we have a lot of these objects in this array that's holding a gig worth of memory. Now, what we would do in this case is to figure out who owns that code. So we would actually just move up, and we can see that array is actually owned by this Java util vector. And we would basically keep going up until we can identify who owns that code. In this case, it's this class variable example that is owning it. So we would find the owner of that class variable example and see if they're, you know, if this is expected behavior or not, if they expect to have over 2,000 objects in this array. So again, in this case, what we would say is we would have 1 gig of memory held by this Javelin object array, and there's 2,000 objects in that array, and it's owned by this class variable example. So that's the information that we would provide to the correct developers to determine if that's expected behavior or not. The right side basically tells us the same information that we saw on the left, which is basically the name of the array, the least leak suspect, how many objects is responsible for, the number of children, which is the number of objects in that array, how many owners of that are there. In this case, it's only one owner. And then the size of that object itself and the total size of memory that's being held by that. Slide 14, Joseph. Okay, so basically, this is the same example, but again, I expanded it out. So in the bottom left, we can, in the tree, the leak suspects tree view, what we can see is that class variable example, and it's the Java util vector, and we just expanded that array out, and we can see that all of the objects are roughly 800 bytes. So this is the second case I told you about where we have small objects, but there's a lot of them held by one collection. In this case, it's an array. So this is the information that we can possibly give to the developers saying, okay, well, are we expecting these long objects in, you know, 2,000 of these long objects in the heat under this array. Slide 15, Joseph, please. So what we talked about is the verbose GC for both the 142 and 115 JDKs. It's definitely very important to look at the verbose GC before we look at the heap dumps or any other files. From the verbose GC, we can determine if we're running into a memory leak, if it's a heap fragmentation issue, or if it's a native memory problem. The only time that we want to look at the heap dump is if we are sure that we have some type of heap memory leak. If we look at the heap dump when we are actually dealing with a heap fragmentation issue or a native memory problem, we will still see some type of collection that is holding some objects, and we can get taken off track. So it's very important to look at the verbose GC first, identify what type of problem, memory problem we are dealing with, either native or a heap memory problem, and if it is heap, if it's a fragmentation issue or a memory leak, then use the right tool to determine, you know, if we need to look at the heap dump and if we do have a memory leak or not. We looked at the PMAT, which is the tool for looking at the verbose GC information. So that actually does work for Solaris and IBM JDKs as well, and it works for the 142 and 15 JDKs. So you can look at all of the information for your tenured region, your nursery region, and have all the information available. You can also take a look at your object sizes, your frequency of garbage collections, and, of course, determine if you have any memory leaks. We also looked at the heap dump analyzer, and we basically went through, basically, when you do have a memory leak, it's going to be some type of collection. It's either going to be, you know, an array list or you know, some type of map. And either we're going to have case one where we have very few objects in that array, but they were very large. The first example had like 27 objects in that array, but they were 4 megs apiece, and it was basically holding 50 megs of memory. And then the second case where we had fairly small objects, but there were a lot of them, where we had over 2,000 objects that were 800 KB holding over a gig of heap memory. So those are the two cases that we can run into. So it's basically identifying which type of issue that we have and identifying who owns that collection object and going to the developers and determining if that's expected behavior or not. Slide 16, Joseph. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up to the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Thank you so much, Joseph. I'll turn the presentation over to you.
Thank you, John, for a great presentation. At this point, Joanne, we would like to open the line for questions.
The first question comes from Chuck Chang, RQuest.
I have two questions. The first one is that I ran into this out-of-memory error several times, and my problem with the tool is that if you refer to a page like from 12 to 16, well, from 11 to 14, you will see the object name, which you can see the object name of those like huge objects. However, my problem is I cannot source back to the application because there are several applications running in my environment. If I don't source it back, I don't know which developer I can talk to. Is there a way or how do I solve that problem? I'm sure I'm making sense.
I believe so. Chuck, so basically I think what you're telling me is that you're seeing large objects.
Yeah.
Causing like data memory error?
Yeah, like a huge array, but I don't know which application generated.
Okay. You should be able to tell that from the verbose GC information. In the native standard error log, you should have the out-of-memory error in there. That should be tied to an application. Also, you would should see the Java core that's also created as well. And the top line of the, or one of the lines in the Java core that actually gives you the command line argument, at the end of that line, it should give you the application name.
Well, I'm running Webster, so I'm not sure if when you say option name, you mean Webster.
Yes, but the line, the command line in the Java core would actually give you the application name of WebSphere if there's multiple applications in the application server.
Okay, so if you look at like Heap Analyzer on page 11, for example, it just say a release. So I think that's not where I want to.
That's correct. You actually need to. Well, I mean, there's a couple different ways that. Well, I guess the what I need to understand is it multiple applications, WebSphere application servers, or one application server with multiple applications running in one WebSphere process ID?
Yeah, the latter one.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so if I plug in my Java dump into Heap Analyzer, I'll get something similar to the one on page 11, where it tell me there's a huge array list. And then I'll be stunned because I don't know which application generated it, and I don't know who can I bring that up to.
Right. Well, yeah, that is a problem because if you're running multiple applications within one application server, yeah, it's very difficult. You would have to see if you can narrow down if you know that the object tree is owned by your developers, then to get it to all of the developers involved and see if they can identify who's causing that.
So how do I narrow it down? Except for shut down applications, you know, in a batch and do all that.
Yeah.
Or like profiling or something which help me.
Yeah, you would basically have to do some type of profiling in a test environment and narrow it down that way.
Okay.
If you had your applications separate into different application servers, obviously it would be a lot easier to identify that.
Okay, I'll try that. A second question. I ran out of native memory in some instances. So is there a tool like PMAT or Heap Analyzer that allow me to look into AIX core dump?
Unfortunately, there really isn't a good way to look at the native memory on any of the platforms. Basically, what you would have to do at that point would be to open up a PMR, and the only AIX or Java developers are the only one that can potentially to analyze the core files and give you the native stacks. That's not something that we could do in support. That would actually have to go to the development teams, and that's also very difficult as well. It's very time-intensive because you would actually have to go through the whole core file to get that information. So the way you would start off with is to lower your heap size to give more native memory to the application or identify different areas of the application that are using native code. For example, your threads are going to be using native code. So if you have, you know, your threading set to 1,000, that could potentially be a problem. Or if you're using native DB2 code or native MQ code or you know, any native JNI code, identifying that areas and seeing if that could potentially be an issue causing the native memory problem if it is a memory leak.
Okay. Well, I think that's another difficulty I have because there is no good tool. So when I open PMR with IBM Level 2, normally they provide suggestions just like you did. So maybe you should try lower heap size. Maybe you try this and that. And how do I present the problem so that Level 2 will pass it to Level 3? You know, who can open up the Java core file and really look into it?
It would basically be the actual core file itself. So if you can, just when you open up the PMR, just that you have a native memory problem, and you would like development to analyze the core file, they should move that up for you. And then there is an escalation path to get extra support that's available on the website if you need to escalate that issue.
Okay. So you're suggesting me to go through the normal escalation channel?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
You're welcome, Chuck.
The next question comes from Paul Stimmis, IBM.
Thanks. I just had a couple questions on the tools themselves. In looking on the IBM Support Assistant on my PC here, I don't see that Heap Analyzer as a tool I can add into ISA. Is that the exact name?
Yes. I guess it really depends on which version of the ISA. It's in some versions of the IBM Support Assistant and not in others, but it is available for standalone download from DeveloperWorks.
Okay. Is it in the newest version? Like, I think I have version 4.1.1.0 of ISA. Is it in the newest version of ISA, or was it in a past version?
It was in a past version. I know it was in version 4.0. I'm not sure, and then also in 3.5. I'm not sure if it made it into 4.1.1.
Okay. And I know, I think you said that that's just the tool that you're comfortable with. Are the other ones fairly similar or as good, do you think?
Yes, there are a couple of other tools that I've used that as well. I know that there is one from, I forgot the name of it, but it is done by the Java developers, and that one will actually take core files. So if you're not getting a heap dump or don't want to generate a heap dump and you're just getting a core file, you can use that as well. The one I really like is the Heap Dump Analyzer because it makes it really easy to see the leak suspects.
Yep.
And it's very intuitive. So that's the tool that we usually recommend because it's very easy to use.
Does that have some limitations on the size of the heap dump that it can analyze?
Yes and no. It's not really the size of the heap. It's the number of objects in that heap. So what we normally, like on my machine, I have 2 gigs of it's a 32-bit machine. I have 2 gigs available. I can look at most 1.5-gig heap dumps or heap dumps that come from 1.5-gig Java processes. But if there's a lot of objects in there, like, for example, if it's from a WebSphere portal environment that typically have a lot of objects, I might not be able to process that heap dump on a 32-bit machine. So I would move that over to a 64-bit operating system in Java process and run Heap Analyzer in 64-bit. At that point, just throw memory at it. So we do have 64-bit machines in the lab that we can run Heap Analyzer on to look at very large heap dumps.
Okay. Kind of the same question, I guess, with the PMAT. I guess I had previously used or the one that's in the ISA called the Garbage Collection and Memory Visualizer. Are you familiar with that tool? Or
that's basically the same information as PMAT. There's no difference in there. That tool is actually done by the Java team, but it actually came after PMAT. So that tool is the same information. So it's whichever one you want to use. And in that case, there is no difference between the tools. They're virtually the same.
Yeah, I guess one thing I noticed in there that in the output you showed that I didn't remember seeing in the ISA tool there, or the garbage collection and memory visualizer, was where it showed the total number of percentage of the overhead.
Right. Yeah, that's the only difference is the summary screen, but the actual graph with all the widgets that are available for looking at your nursery and tenure, that's all the same.
Yeah.
It's the summary screen that's different. And that's the reason why I like the PMAT, because it does give you the overhead.
Yeah, that is I agree, that's a pretty useful piece of information. Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Paul.
The next question comes from Alain Pini, AT&T.
I have a question regarding what happens is that we have noticed that one of our application, it does use large amount of JVM, and the upper limit was set at 1 GB, and lower limit was set at 512. I mean, the first it goes for 512 and then it goes for 1 GB. What was noticed that first time if I bounce the app for 2 to 3 days, everything works fine. Only on the fourth or fifth day, we are getting out of memory error. So So I opened a PMR with IBM. This is what we found with IBM is that the objects which go into the JVM, and if no user logs in, all the applications are not doing any work, all the objects are not get cleaned up 100%. And they told me, they gave me the reply saying that don't worry about it, and that if some of the objects are not getting cleaned, the heap size is not coming down back to its original point from the upper limit. Say, for example, during the day, it is at 800 MB, and then I expect if nobody is there, since the lower limit is 512, so at least it should come below 512. I'm expecting this. But sometimes it doesn't come. It's just above 500 MB. My question here is that, would it not clear all the objects within JVM if no user is there, nobody is there?
Yeah, this is a little outside of the scope, but the answer is basically no, it won't clear up all the objects. The reason is because of how garbage collection works. Basically, this is going back to like the mark and sweep. The only time that the garbage collection is going to run is if the heap is completely exhausted. So if everything's shut down and nothing is coming in the evening or in the middle of the night, the heap is not going to fill up, so it's not going to run a garbage collection cycle, so nothing gets removed. So if everything is, no objects are being allocated at night, no garbage collection is going to be run.
Right, I agree with you with that point. So what you're trying to say is that if nothing is running for 6 to 8 hours, for example, or 6 hours, that does not necessarily mean that for the 6-7 hours it will clean up all your objects within the JVM and bring it down to its original position.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks. That's all I have.
Yeah.
We have no other questions in the queue at this time.
Thank you, Joanne. Now, I do see a question in the group chat from Mike Koval, so I'm just going to announce a question, and then hopefully, John, you'll be able to answer it. So here's the question from Mike Koval. Typically, max heap size is not more than 1.5 gigs RAM. Can I set 5 gigs of RAM for heap size on 64-bit operating system?
Yes. If you're running a 64-bit operating system with 64-bit Java, then yes, you can set your max heap to basically whatever you have for physical memory. So if you have, 20 gigs of memory on the box and you're running 64-bit OS, then yes, you can set your max heap to 20 gigs. There are some cases where you do need to be careful because you're going to get to a point where the more heap you have, it's going to take longer to do a garbage collection cycle. So if you're running a 32-bit Java system and your heap is at 1 gig and then you run the same application on 64-bit and let's say it's 5 gigs, then your garbage collection cycles is going to be a lot longer with the 5 gig max heap size. So that's the one thing that you need to be careful of. It might be on a 1 gig system, it might be 1 second to do a garbage collection, but it might be, 20 seconds on a 5 gig system. So, yes, you can have a large heap on a 64-bit web sphere with a 64-bit operating system, but there are some catches that you have to be aware of.
Thank you, John. As we have no further questions at this time, we will conclude the presentation.